This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And that brings us to 7:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we're now moving on to our story, which is about President Trump being impeached for the second time. And this is for inciting violence against the U.S. government following on from the storming of the Capitol. According to the article of impeachment, Trump has willfully made statements that in context encouraged and foreseeably resulted in lawless action at the Capitol, such as, if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
So the House has approved the impeachment charge against Trump, and this brings Trump's impeachment trial to the Senate for the second time. And this comes as 10 Republicans join Democrats in voting for the impeachment. Senator Mitch McConnell has rejected the Democrats' plea to hasten these proceedings by bringing Senate back in session via emergency powers. So the Senate will not sit before January 19th. So this will essentially mean that Trump would most likely be impeached after he has left office, because Joe Biden is supposed to take on the presidency on January 20th.
So this opens it up for a few lines of discussion, right? Firstly, whether or not this impeachment is going to go through. Also, the significance of the fact that we are seeing some Republicans cross that line to join Democrats in impeaching the president. And I think this is partly to do with the kinds of tensions that we've been seeing within the Republican Party in terms of how to reckon with a figure like Donald Trump representing them. But it also opens up, I think, questions about democracy, about prioritizing democracy over party lines.
And I think what's important to realize also is that unlike the first round of impeachment, this particular circumstances is that the lawmakers who were threatened when the Capitol was stormed included both Democrats and Republicans. And of course, this was happening when the Senate was supposed to certify Biden's win last week.
In fact, the next three people in the line of succession after President Trump were, in fact, directly endangered by this.
Exactly.
So that's another thing to highlight. Now, if Trump is impeached, he will be losing benefits that former presidents are entitled to. So we're talking about things like a lifetime pension, which exceeds $200,000 a year, and Secret Service detail for the rest of his life, as well as the $1 million authorized for security and travel allowances. So it is significant, and there are real life impacts aside from, I suppose, the disgrace associated with being an impeached president.
And it is also about sending a message, isn't it? That it's not just that it was this particular incident, it was about his presidency itself sort of getting basically ending in disgrace. So what will this mean in terms of relationships that he has fostered globally, right? Because the rise of Trump did see simultaneously the rise of leaders like Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban or Brazil's President Jair Bolsonaro, both of whom are people that Trump has worked with on fairly glowing terms, I can say.
That, in turn, looks at the power of an American endorsement, right? So whether or not that's fading is something that we can discuss. But for the longest time, you know, the partnerships that are forged by an American president, by American leadership, signifies a certain level of approval on an international scale. It also opened you up for investments, for trade deals. So there are lots of things associated with being friendly with an American president, with being seen to be an ally. And you're right. I think it's interesting to see what's going to happen for the strongman figures that continue to remain in power and how this will impact them diplomatically. So we want to talk about both these things, the impeachment, the possible impeachment, as well as what Trump's leaving office would mean for other political leaders. You can call us with your thoughts, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Boon Nagara, Senior Fellow at ISIS Malaysia and Honorary Research Fellow at the Perak Academy. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're going international and taking a look at the second time that President Donald Trump is being impeached, what this might mean locally, what this might mean for his legacy. When I say locally, I mean within the United States, what it might mean for his legacy of his presidency overall, and in turn, what signal that sends to other foreign leaders. So if you have thoughts on this process, on this impeachment, send them our way. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now, Bun Negara, Senior Fellow at ISIS Malaysia and Honorary Research Fellow at the Perak Academy. Bun, it's good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you very much. Welcome.
So we ran through this a little bit earlier, but perhaps you could just help to clarify. I mean, walk us through the second impeachment. What exactly is being invoked? What is happening?
Well, as everyone has been able to, you know, see in the news lately, Trump has been accused of inciting a violent and deadly attack on the government itself, the U.S. Capitol building. This is, as everyone has said, it's unprecedented. And the degree of anger and frustration and desperation in the U.S. Houses of Congress have made this impeachment an inevitability. So, you know, this is something which is unprecedented in many ways. Not only is Trump the only president to be impeached twice in a single term or any terms, any number of terms, but also this is an impeachment which is the most bipartisan in U.S. history. That is, the two main parties have come together, or at least a sufficient number, 10 senators, ten Congress people in the U.S. Have agreed with the Democrats to impeach Trump. So he has been impeached the second time now.
Mm. Now, what is the difference between this time and the first attempt at impeachment? And why does this difference matter?
Well, the first time it was rather vague and quite poorly presented by the opposition Democrats. It involved Trump's attempt to solicit the support or assistance of a foreign country, Ukraine, to dig up the dirt on his electoral challenger, Biden, and Biden's son, Hunter, in order to give Trump better chances at being re-elected. It was quite poorly expressed, and therefore it became a partisan issue of Democrats versus Republicans, and therefore the Republicans in the House voted along party lines and acquitted Trump. He was impeached, but he was acquitted, so he suffered no penalties. This time, it's different. It's an attack directly, vividly, violently against the government itself, which is something which is impeachable, as has been expressed by a number of people, although there have been differences of views on that. And it was, you know, shown all over the world on TV, and it's embarrassing to the U.S. as well as dangerous to the lawmakers themselves. And this is obviously more serious, a direct attack on the lawmakers themselves, and obviously the lawmakers have made a move to impeach him.
Now, this is coming as Trump has less than a week to go in office. What significance does it have given this time frame?
Well, for a start, it looks like it's symbolic. You see, the impeachment, if it is to go through to result in conviction and punishment of Trump by having him sacked from the presidency, can only be passed by a two-thirds majority of the Senate. And the Senate will not reconvene until the 19th of January, which is Trump's last hours, if not the last day in office. And therefore, many have said, especially the Republicans, that it's pointless, it's divisive, divides the country even more and so on. But the Democrats and a number of Republicans are, you know, insistent that such a serious offense that Trump has committed must not go unpunished. And therefore, they are for impeachment. And what is more important, I think, is that there is a part of the impeachment charge sheet which says that upon conviction, Trump will not be eligible to hold any public office in future. Therefore, he cannot run for re-election after this current term of Biden, which is the year 2024. This is something, again, which is unprecedented. No other president would be barred in such a way ever before. But this will be a first once it gets through.
So what does this impeachment signal about the future direction of the Republican Party?
Well, the Republican Party itself is split now. And the problem with those few, and there are still a few in the Senate or in the lower house of Congress that support Trump all the way until now, is that they hope to perhaps inherit his legacy and his electoral base of supporters. And the supporters are not a few. There are quite many, more than 70 million voted for him this time. And they hope to become the next Trump. It could be Trumpism without Trump in future. When Trump finally leaves the political scene, they may inherit that support voter base for their own electoral interests. Of course, there's another factor which has been cited by commentators, which is that the people in the Republican Party who support him are actually quite worried about the retribution that they could suffer from Trump supporters if they were to support impeachment, of Trump. So there are other various factors. And the Republican Party itself is now, I think, more split than ever before. And it doesn't look good for them, although it may be an advantage to the Democrats.
And if we could look outside of the United States, then what would this impeachment mean for the rest of the world, especially, I suppose, for leaders that have associated or countries that have been friendly with his presidency?
Well, I'm sure those countries, and I doubt if there are many, who have been seen as being friendly to him or his presidency would say that, well, it's not being friendly to him personally, but being friendly to the U.S. at a time when he happened to be the president. So even when there are countries that have been seen as being close to Trump, Israel, Saudi Arabia, maybe Vietnam, even, say, North Korea, they are only too happy to work with any other president in the U.S. As long as that person happens to be the president of the U.S. at the material time. So the way that Trump has also alienated U.S. allies, whether in Europe or in Asia, have also distanced them from his presidency. So he's probably lost whatever the international support he has had for some time now. And the countries that have been close to his presidency or to the U.S. during his time as president would not lose anything by, looking ahead to the future.
Does this extend to a question of the economy? Because the U.S. is one of the biggest economies in the world. How will this impact the markets of those countries that were once close to Trump?
Well, I think business is business. It will carry on, as always, regardless of who is the president. And if a president happens to be market-friendly, and it has to be internationally market-friendly, then so much the better for everybody involved. And I think the kind of trade war, for example, we've seen between the U.S. and China because of Trump, it's likely to ease, although not completely under Biden. But I think some of the pressures will probably would be lifted in the coming next 4 years. So business-wise, I think the economies are not going to get any worse unless there are other factors involved, such as the pandemic. But I think the change in the U.S. presidency is likely to be more optimistic, if anything, for economies in general.
So let's look ahead to the Joe Biden presidency, which we know is coming. What kinds of international relationships might we see being formed by this president?
Well, for a change, it would be quite different from the Trump administration's apparent irrationality, impulsiveness, and whimsy due to the personal character and temperament of one person. It would be much more back to normal, back to before, and in some ways even seen to be rather like the Obama presidency, because Biden was Obama's vice president before. But not only that, but some of his appointees have been Obama administration officials before as well. But of course, the rest of the world has changed. The U.S. itself has changed somewhat. And I think going from that, we can see that it will be more back to the U.S. as before, as the rest of the world understands it. And there will be greater familiarity all around, and therefore perhaps a better sense of confidence, whether in terms of diplomacy or business.
Boon, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
That was Boon Negara, Senior Fellow at ISIS Malaysia and Honorary Research Fellow at the Perak Academy, talking to us today about the process that has begun, really, to impeach President Trump. This is the second time that impeachment proceedings have been brought against this president, as well as what it means in general for the United States and the world as we are seeing the outgoing president leaving under these terms, and what we can anticipate with Joe Biden. Now, if you have thoughts you'd like to share, you can, of course, call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, some music. Here's Buddy Miles with Memphis Train, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.